The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
The famous words of Neil Armstrong, the first man on the moon. We realized watching TV together the full magnitude of our potential. Manifest destiny isn't limited to God's green earth. Adventuring into space is the natural evolution of the American push into the wilderness. Space exploration withered under Barack Obama, but like many things in America, it's making a comeback. Trump and Musk flew to South Texas today. Elon giving 47 a little aerodynamics 101. The goal has been set. Colonize Mars. But before that, we have to make sure if we get men to Mars, we can get them back. So this test was about working out the kinks, and they let it rip.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The mission was a success. SpaceX fulfilled three of the four goals: reignition, splashdown, vertical reentry. They just weren't able to catch the booster and the chopsticks. Should have used a fork. A manned mission to Mars isn't far off, and it's coming at a time when Americans' cultural confidence is high.
Confidence in America is sky high. What a difference in just the mood, as I've noted this week on the show. Over just 2 weeks, he was elected as president of the United States, president-elect. 2 weeks ago, yesterday, I guess it would be, so... It's incredible. It's miraculous. We're seeing prophecies being fulfilled. Lots to get to on today's show. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's program. You can get to the live video stream of this program at trumpetdaily.com or at the Rumble channel, rumble.com/trumpetdaily. We have an evening replay on LFA TV. That's also at Rumble as well. So I didn't discuss this yesterday, but you may have seen that the NFL, some of these sports leagues are getting some flack from the radical left, saying that they ought to ban the Trump dance celebration. And the NFL has come out and said, you know what, we don't have a problem with it. So as I said yesterday, it wasn't that long ago when these leagues were leading the anti-American take a knee, don't respect the national anthem. Disrespect it, in fact. Hold George Floyd, of all people. Hold him up on a pedestal. Worship him, practically. Worship Obama. We went through that earlier in the week as well. What happened? What a transformation in just a few days' time, really. A few months ago, they nearly murdered Donald Trump. That was July 13th. And now here, Elon Musk, he's noticed there that Jesse said that the space exploration, it withered under Barack Obama. So much affliction brought on by that man and his administration. Bitter affliction, it's called in 2 Kings 14. Immeasurable misery, as we discussed on yesterday's show. I'll get to that in just a second. First, a bit on all that's changing and fast. Immigration, for example. Jesse went on to say this, clip 16.
It's only been 2 weeks since Trump's landslide victory, and migrants are deporting themselves. Locals say the Haitians who settled in Springfield, Ohio, have already started shipping out. I wouldn't be surprised if we see a mass exodus after Trump confirmed he'll use the military to carry out mass deportations. People take Trump at his word. He's saying we can do this the easy way, or we're going to do this the hard way. The illegals know the jig's up.
The illegals know it. They're leaving even before Trump gets into office, some of them. They know the jig is up. They know, as I said yesterday, there's a new administration, a new sheriff in town. Listen to the new border czar, Tom Homan. This, I think, was on Fox yesterday, clip 13.
What happens to a mayor or a local police department chief that is under Democratic leadership that obstructs ICE in your federal agents that are helping get these deportations? What happens to them?
Well, first of all, if they don't help us get the way, we're going to do it. If I got sent twice the amount of resources to that city, that's what we're going to do. If they would give us access to the jail, that would mean less agents in the community. For them pushing back and not letting us in the jail, it just means more agents are going to be in the community, so they're hurting themselves. Finally, I'll say this. They need to educate themselves. They need to review this. Title 8, United States Code, 1324, triple I. Read about that and don't cross that line, because it is a felony to harbor and conceal an illegal alien from ICE. Read the statute. Don't cross that line.
Kamala Harris has been the so-called border czar for 4 years. I mean, this man's accomplishing more in about 4 minutes. Listen to any of his interviews. Listen, we're going to uphold the law. And if you blue cities or blue states, if you don't support us, then you better know that you're going to be guilty of law-breaking as well. This has had an immediate impact, as Jesse noted. People are already leaving because they know. They know that the jig is up. They know that this is a different America. Suddenly. I played that clip yesterday. It was the football player, I think, that was on with Jesse Waters. And he was asked about the dancing, the Trump dance, in some of these stadiums with these professional athletes. And that former NFL player said that people are doing it now. They're showing open support for Donald Trump because they're not afraid. They're not afraid anymore. There was a time when they were afraid to show support for Donald Trump. You remember those times if you're an American. You kept it to yourself. Something has changed. And as I said on yesterday's show, I mean, now the open public support, the public dancing, it also shows just how severe and how bitter the affliction actually was. People are rejoicing now. Now we're celebrating, launching rockets into space. The prospect of going to Mars. You have Donald Trump there in his Make America Great Again hat, together with, senators. Prominent officials, Elon Musk. What a different tone. What a different mood. As I say, it highlights just how bad it actually was. I gave you this verse yesterday, 2 Kings 14:26, where in the Fenton translation it says, "For the everlasting or ever living pitied the immeasurable miseries of Israel, both without and within, when there was no ease for Israel." There was just seemingly no let up to the bitter affliction. It intensified during the Joe Obama years with the fake president. It was bad even during President Trump's administration, his first term. Just looking at how the departments, the federal agencies had been weaponized. I know there were 3 years of relative prosperity under Trump. But then look at COVID. I'll get to that in a little bit. There was a pause. There was a pause. I mean, we've talked about another pause in Trump's reign. But there was also a pause to the affliction. Temporarily, giving us a preview from 2017 to 2020 of what's ahead in the next 2-3 years. My father wrote, this is from May of 2018 in the Trumpet magazine, so 4 years ago, more than four, it says, "Had Hillary Clinton been elected, the destructive trends that unfolded during the Obama presidency would have continued unchecked, and they surely would have intensified. Many people, including me, believe it would have been or meant the end of our constitutional republic. There's some bitter affliction that's been there from the early days of Antiochus all the way through to this year. And only now, only in the last 2 weeks, God has intervened, you see. He's intervened to save America from being blotted out. This is In America Under Attack, the book we offer on this program more than any other piece of literature. And we have lots of literature. You can look at our library at our website, thetrumpet.com. But in AUA, it says the Bible actually prophesied what is happening in America, what is now happening. It describes it as bitter affliction. It says the Bible also prophesies that God will save America from this affliction in a specific way, through a specific man. As I said yesterday, I mean, it's all the more remarkable that God did it through Donald Trump, who was finished, who was silenced, who was nearly blotted out, who was nearly left for dead. Now it's a different America, and Donald Trump is back. My father says here, America's affliction is very bitter, and nobody with any power is helping. Well, now you see, even that's changing. Elon Musk, the Supreme Court, all of these celebrities now, or at least the sports stars, people coming out of the woodwork. It says, but God says in verse 27 that he saved them. This is referring to 2 Kings 14. He saved them by the hand of Jeroboam. Today, Donald Trump is fulfilling the role of an end-time Jeroboam. God sent President Trump specifically to deal with that evil and actually save America temporarily. This happened during Donald Trump's first presidential term. But that's not the end of the story. Mr. Trump has been pushed out of office, and now the affliction is worse than ever. I mean, the fake president was installed, and what did they do immediately? They rescinded all of those executive actions, opened the border wide, wide open border. And then early on in that administration, the fake one, you had the disastrous Afghanistan withdrawal. America just humiliated for all the world to see, all the revelations during the Joe Obama years about the woke generals at the Pentagon. I think we just passed 1,000 days of war between Ukraine and Russia. 1,000 days! It was supposed to be a short conflict. That's what Joe Obama said. Last year, there was the October 7 attack on Israel. A lot of affliction. And of course, even before Donald Trump left, you've got the BLM riots. That was brought on by the radical left. The pandemic, I mean, that was a man-made disease. That was turned into a weapon to shut everything down in 2020. To rig the election, we've often noted, but also to ruin Donald Trump's economy. All of these police states in the West, in Israel, maybe it wasn't as bad in America as it was in some of the Ephraimite nations, but part of that, I'm sure, had to do with Donald Trump resisting the experts to the extent that he did or tried. So much bitterness, so much affliction. And then we get into the vaccines and all the pressure that was put upon everybody around the world to get vaxxed, to get boosted, to get boosted again. January 6th, look at how eager the Department of Justice here in the United States, look at how they just put another one in jail last week, I believe. The biggest, the largest investigation in the history of the DOJ to try to find protesters who supported Donald Trump. You didn't come out in the open to support Trump, not after January 6th. But now things have changed. Here again, that football player, they're showing support now because they're not afraid. They used to be afraid to do it. They used to be scared. That's the way the radical left rules. They intimidate. And we saw all of those tactics in place. You saw it especially bad in blue states during the COVID scamdemic. The lockdowns. I mean, you had 15 days to stop the spread. I think one of my favorite titles for a show we did a couple years ago, 315 days to slow the spread. It just went on and on and on. As people had their businesses shut down, forced into isolation, family members left to die alone, children prevented from going to school, just sitting at home, and then all of the rise of all of these other sicknesses and diseases and addictions. Because of human government, because of radical communist authoritarian government, police states. We'll show you the footage in just a second. I was almost led with it, but it's just depressing to look back at all of those COVID policies, at how much the rulers, the experts, on how much they hurt people, they hurt children, and people wonder why there's actually some support out there for individuals like Robert Kennedy. There's a lot of health problems besides the COVID, besides the vaccine side effects. Look at this, as I say, somewhat depressing montage of all that the experts did for Western nations during the COVID scaremongering. Clip 17.
Deadly coronavirus now grows, spreading from Wuhan, China, and tonight that first case here in the U.S. And in the city of Wuhan, where the outbreak began, patients now in isolation, all trains and planes out of that city halted just tonight.
China has had enormous success in beating down its epidemic. So people were literally quickly taken away from their families to these giant gymnasiums or stadiums where there were, they were not concentration camps. They were beds, you know, there, and there were nurses in protective gear to watch out for people. They even had dance classes in these things. It's not a bad policy.
Perhaps China's authoritarian ways did prevent this, meaning had China been a free and open society, this might have spread faster. Their extreme quarantines, has that worked?
Well, you know, it has. I mean, that's not the usual thing you do. Their efforts have been draconian, something we never would be able to do here.
We want people still to go on about their lives.
Come to Chinatown. Here we are.
There is no concern at this time for coronavirus in our region.
Americans do not need to panic.
We want New Yorkers to go about their daily lives.
There's very little threat here.
Just you and me wearing these masks, that could actually sometimes be more harmful to you than not wearing a mask.
Face masks are not recommended for the general public.
Right now, people should not be walking. There's no reason to be walking around with a mask.
To unleash the full power of the federal government in this effort today, I am officially declaring a national emergency. This afternoon, we're announcing new guidelines for every American to follow over the next 15 days.
I don't believe that this is going to be a short-term issue. I think we're looking at a matter of months, and people should start to calibrate that into their expectation.
Literally here in New York City, it feels like a wartime environment.
When you talk about lockdowns, that certainly they were extremely successful.
You could literally kill someone because you didn't want to wear a mask.
Yeah, okay, search warrant for what? What are you suspecting me of doing?
What's this about?
High-powered drones will be used to find people not wearing masks and cars too far from home.
A drone is scanning for COVID-19 symptoms, and they can use them to spot and warn people who are gathered too closely. They can also detect whether you're running a fever, sneezing, or coughing heavily.
Tackled to the ground and forced into custody.
What authority did you nullify the Bill of Rights in issuing this order? How do you have the power to do that?
That's above my pay grade, Tucker.
We will not be able to return to normalcy until we find a vaccine or effective medications. Is all that economic pain worth trying to stop COVID-19? The truth is, we have no choice.
You're okay. You're not going to get COVID if you have these vaccinations.
These vaccines are highly, highly effective.
Vaccinated people do not carry the virus, don't get sick.
If you're vaccinated, you're not going to be hospitalized. You're not going to be in an ICU unit, and you're not going to die.
The vaccine, 95% effective.
Quite impressive.
Vaccines are going to succeed.
There's hope.
This vaccine means hope. It will protect you and those you love.
In order to get rid of this pandemic, get vaccinated. So roll up your sleeve and do your part.
This is our shot.
With each shot, we're just a little bit closer to normal.
If we do this now, we protect ourselves, our loved ones, and every other person around the globe.
And get back to school and work.
To get back to each other.
To life.
Doctors say people who've been vaccinated are unlikely to get COVID if they've received any of the three available vaccines.
You're not going to get COVID if you have these vaccinations.
The Johnson & Johnson vaccine is a great one-and-done shot.
This is the J&J vaccine that I'll be taking, so one and done.
COVID breakthrough infections.
We're increasingly hearing about fully vaccinated people infected with COVID.
Is there any reason not to get a booster at this point?
Not at all.
Global leaders to consider changing the definition of being fully vaccinated to three doses.
Potential fourth shot, another booster.
Talk about people getting a fourth.
Four, I thought we were just talking about three.
Fourth shot may be needed 6 months after your booster.
Oh, now you're telling me that the booster is pretty good, but I may need to get another shot again.
If it becomes necessary to get yet another boost, then we'll just have to deal with it.
This is not about freedom. We require all employers fully vaccinated.
Don't get the vaccine, you can't go to the supermarket. Don't have the vaccine, you don't show it, can't go to the ball game. Don't have the vaccine, can't go to work. You don't have the vaccine, can't come here. No shirt, no shoes, no service. That's where I think we should be right now.
It is possible that everything that was done in the name of fighting COVID-19, it is possible that it turns out to be one of the worst governmental mistakes ever.
Bitter affliction, immeasurable misery brought on by man-made diseases, man-made vaccines, man-made policies, authoritarian government. The only thing that wasn't shown in that that review of 2020, 2021, was the fact that they used this disease to steal a U.S. presidential election, to install a fake president, to blot out Donald Trump. Bitter affliction, indeed. This story, it's a lengthy story at the Wall Street Journal. How science lost America's trust and surrendered health policy to skeptics. Well, you look at that and you can see why people have so little faith in science, in the experts, in most world leaders. Look at what they did. Look at what they got away with. Look at how they've been exposed. The rise of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. from fringe figure to the prospective head of U.S. health policy was fueled by skepticism and distrust of the medical establishment views that went viral in the COVID-19 pandemic. People once dismissed for their disbelief in conventional medicine are now celebrating a new champion in Washington. Scientists, meanwhile, are trying to figure how they could have managed the pandemic without setting off a populist movement they say threatens long-standing public health measures. They can't separate from their long-standing public health measures. RFK comes along and says, hey, we're sicker than we've ever, ever been. We put more toward healthcare than ever before. It's not working. Lingering resentment over pandemic restrictions helped Kennedy and his Make America Healthy Again campaign draw people from the left and the right, Voters who worried about the contamination of food, water, and medicine, many of them shared doubts about vaccines and felt their concerns were ignored by experts or regarded as ignorant. People were trying to sound the alarm, including us on this program. What about all of the vaccine side effects? What about all the people dying suddenly? What about all of the problems, health problems that people ran into because of man-made vaccines, man-made drugs brought to you by Pfizer? Create the disease and then create the vaccine to get rid of the disease. That's Kennedy's point. More broadly, look, all of these food production companies, they're in bed with Big Pharma. They're like one and the same. Put all of the poisons in the food so that Americans get sick, Americans in particular, and then give them a drug brought to you by Pfizer. It says here, Kennedy merged a crowd of COVID-era skeptics with people who long distrusted mainstream medicine and food conglomerates. Together, they helped return Donald Trump to the White House. With the president-elect's selection of Kennedy to head the Department of Health and Human Services, the medical establishment is bracing for an overhaul of U.S. health policy. How does this happen overnight? I forget the date that Kennedy came out and endorsed Trump. Wasn't that just in August? Just a couple months ago. And now you've got this most unlikely coalition. And Kennedy, for all of his bizarre ideas in other fields, I mean, you listen to him talk about food and production, mass production of food in America, all the additives and addictive ingredients that they put in. He makes sense. Listen, we've had these clips on file for, I think, a couple of months now. But listen to what Bobby Kennedy, I don't have the exact date, but it wasn't that that long ago. Clip two.
Today, two-thirds, we spend more on health care than any country on earth, twice what they pay in Europe. And yet we have the worst health outcomes of any nation in the world. We're about 79th in health outcomes behind Costa Rica and Nicaragua and Mongolia and other countries. Nobody has a chronic disease burden like we have. And during the COVID epidemic, we had the highest body count of any country in the world. We had 16% of the COVID deaths, and we only have 4.2% of the world's population.
That's because the people that died of COVID are sick to begin with. That's why it was so high in America. 16%. Of those who died worldwide, even though we only have 4.2% of the world population. Now you know all about the comorbidities and so on, the things that we tried to tell you in 2020. Not addressing the cause, the root causes of sickness. It says here, health authorities who beat the pandemic worry about losing more trust from the people they worked to save. It says doctors, scientists, and public health officials are asking themselves how they can win it back. Among their post-election revelations, don't underestimate or talk down to those without a medical degree. Don't make people feel like idiots. Don't intimidate them into silence. These are some of the lessons that this community is learning. I mean, it's refreshing to actually to see an ounce of remorse or repentance. We'll see if it sticks. Officials fear that Kennedy will promote unproven remedies, appoint vaccine skeptics to immunization advisory committees, and hamper the government's infectious disease detectives in a future pandemic. They're worried that he may not bring in the same old experts, all the Dr. Fauci types, the bureaucrats. Just turn it all over to the bureaucrats. The bureaucrats have been running. They've been running these Western nations into the ground. Bitter affliction. immeasurable misery. Listen again to Bobby Kennedy. This is, as you can see from the footage, it's from August, just a couple months ago, clip three.
And CDC says that's because we are the sickest people on earth. We have the highest chronic disease rate on earth. And the average American who died from COVID had 3.8 chronic diseases. So these were people who had immune system collapse, who had mitochondrial dysfunction. And no other country has anything like this. Two-thirds of American adults and children suffer from chronic health issues. 50 years ago, that number was less than 1%. So we've gone from 1% to 66%. In America, 74% of Americans are now overweight or obese, and 50% of our children. 120 years ago, when somebody was obese, they were sent to the circus. There were case reports done about them. Obesity was almost unknown. In Japan, the childhood obesity rate is 3% compared to 50% here.
How can you not listen to what this man has to say, on this subject anyway? How can you not hear him out? You know, going back to that montage I just played, a reminder of 2020, 2021, the scaremongering, the vaccine mandates. How is no one from any of that craziness, that insanity, in prison? Why is the DOJ not opening up the biggest investigation in the history of America into the experts, into big pharma, science, the vaccine side effects? Anybody going to jail for that? Anybody in prison? They got grandma who took a photo inside the Capitol. She went away to prison. But all of the lies, all of the lives that were destroyed, the businesses that were crushed, even as the experts and the bureaucrats and the big pharma companies lined their pockets with billions. Billions of dollars. This Wall Street Journal article. Kennedy has said he opposes food and food coloring and additives. The widely used pesticide, glyphosate, seed oils, and foods with added sugars, among many other issues. Anything wrong with those policies? Yeah, I'd like to get rid of the chemicals. I'd like to cut back on the sugars. I'd like to remove the pesticides from food. What's wrong with this? Nothing is wrong with this. It makes perfect sense, except to experts. It says medical authorities say some of his views, such as suspicion of ultra-processed foods, have scientific merit, while others are unfounded. They just can't know. I saw this clip from Joe Rogan. It was from some months ago. He was talking about Bobby Kennedy, and he pulls up this article from Time Magazine that has a title asking if highly processed foods are really, if they're really unhealthy, can they really be that unhealthy? Maybe not. And Rogan's just sitting there going, this is insane. It's common sense. It should be. But you see, what's happened is more people now look to Joe Rogan than they do Time Magazine, that's for sure. In fact, Joe Rogan's guest on that interview was surprised Time Magazine's still in existence. You had a few. Remember those clips we played for you? The CrossFit founder, I forget the guy's name. But he was speaking truth about all the comorbidities and the sickness. And he basically was saying what Bobby Kennedy is saying. Look, cut the processed food out of your diet. Get exercise. Get sunlight. Get some fresh air. Take the mask off. And the establishment tried to destroy that man, the former head of CrossFit. They tried to run him off. They tried to blot him out. Much of Kennedy's popularity reflects residual pandemic anger over being told to stay home or to wear masks, the extended closure of schools and businesses, and vaccine requirements to attend classes, board a plane, or eat at a restaurant. There's a deep-seated anger over what the so-called authorities did to our nations. Science, falsely so-called, as Paul wrote to Timothy. Fake science. We weren't really considering the consequences in communities that were not New York City, the places where the virus wasn't hitting as hard. Former National Institutes of Health director Francis Collins said in an event last year, you know, we might have been too draconian. Francis Collins. I mean, we played clips from him during peak scaremongering season. And now they're kind of backing off. Well, now that we know there's a lot of resentment, we know guys like Bobby Kennedy are gaining in popularity. Kennedy also wrote that book about the real Anthony Fauci. He's exposed. A lot of evildoers. My father in Great Again says that Donald Trump has a knack for identifying the evil, for exposing the evil, for shedding light on evil, on sickness, on disease. Authorities focused on ways to stop the disease and failed to consider this actually totally disrupts people's lives, ruins the economy, and has many kids kept out of school, said Collins. Francis Collins, that's right. Authorities, you know, we didn't really stop and think this disrupts people's lives. This hurts children's education. You didn't stop to think about that? Shutting down businesses? You didn't think that would have any kind of a negative side effect? Public health officials wonder if they have sufficient clout for the next national emergency. Science is losing its place as a source of truth. That's a quote from another, maybe one of the newer experts. Yeah, we've lost credibility. People no longer look to science as a source of truth. Bitter affliction. That's what we're reading about. This is not ancient history. This happened in a couple of years ago in some cases. The carryover from the scaremongering, from the pandemic, from the mandatory vaccines. Listen to how those commentators early on in the pandemic, they couldn't help themselves. They were praising the communist state of China. Yeah, China's that. They're going off to clubs. They're not being locked away. In some cases, they get dance classes. How are there not any people who lied and destroyed lives in prison or being investigated? Everyone got a pass. But the populist movement, you see, has spoken. We don't trust science anymore. We don't trust the experts. The experts lied to us. The experts intimidated us. The experts pressured us into closing up shop, going home and getting back into the basement. Further on, it says here, in October 2023, 27% of Americans who responded to a poll said they had little to no trust in scientists to act in the public's best interests, up from 13% in January 2019. It more than doubled through the scamdemic. 27%, little or no trust in the scientists. And then they wonder, these experts, how anybody could open arms to an extremist like Bobby Kennedy. Listen to more from Kennedy back in August, clip 4.
Half of Americans have pre-diabetes or type 2 diabetes. When my uncle was president, I was a boy. Juvenile diabetes was effectively non-existent. A typical pediatrician would see one case of diabetes during his entire career, a 40 or 50 year career. Today, one out of every three kids who walk through his office door is diabetic or pre-diabetic, and the mitochondrial disorder that caused diabetes, also causing Alzheimer's, which is now classified as diabetes, and it's costing this country more than our military budget every year. There's been an explosion of neurological illnesses that I never saw as a kid: ADD, ADHD, speech delay, language delay, Tourette syndrome, narcolepsy, ASD, Asperger's, autism. In the year 2000, the autism rate was 1 in 1,500. Now autism rates in kids are 1 in 36, according to CDC nationally. Nobody's talking about this. One in every 22 kids in California has autism. And this is a crisis that 77% of our kids cannot, are too disabled to serve in the United States military.
Why is no one talking about this? That's a good question. Why aren't they sounding the alarm, saying, demanding change? Just compare this, by the way. What he's saying, it's a slightly different topic, but listen to what a radical left-wing communist talking head has to say about the children and the dangers that children are in right now. This is Jennifer Rubin at the Washington Post, clip one.
You can't talk broad themes. You have to boil it down to nuts and bolts, and you have to be pithy. What do I mean by pithy? How about this? Republicans want to kill your kids. It's actually true. If you're going to oppose vaccinations, if you're going to stop breakthrough medical research, if you're going to allow minors and all sorts of people to get semi-automatic weapons, which they use to shoot up schools, well, then you are responsible for kids' health and death, unfortunately.
So here's a woman who's blinded by her rage, her obsession to get Trump, to expose Trump's extreme cabinet picks. And she's saying Republican policies are killing children. Look at all of the things that are killing our children. The fentanyl, the addictive ingredients in cereals and things of that nature. If it's not killing them, it's killing them slowly. People have had enough of all of this hyperbolic scaremongering. They've had enough. The people have spoken. Trump's got a mandate. Trump's got a majority. Trump's got the House. Trump's got the Senate. They weren't able to steal it this time. Obama's been silenced. As I've said this week, I mean, it truly is remarkable to just be a witness to all of these miraculous events. Listen again to Bobby Kennedy from August, clip five.
What is happening to our country? And why isn't this in the headlines every single day? There's nobody else in the world that is experiencing this. This is only happening in America. About 18%, and by the way, you know, there has been no change in diagnosis, which the industry sometimes like to say. There has been no change in screening. This is a change in incidence. In my generation, 70-year-old men, the autism rates are about 1 in 10,000. In my kids' generation, 1 in 34. I'll repeat, in California, 1 in 22. Why are we letting this happen? Why are we allowing this to happen to our children? These are the most precious assets that we have in this country. How can we let this happen to them?
Pretty sound advice and some compelling questions. We're killing our children. We're allowing all of this sickness and disease. We're not doing any, and we've got all of these government agencies that are there supposedly to help our health. And it keeps getting worse. This Wall Street Journal piece, it says here, referring to someone that coming out of the scamdemic became a skeptic, as so many have. She and others say they are dialing back the use of the word misinformation. Sorry, this is one of the experts who's been humbled. And they're changing their tune a bit. We're dialing back the use of the word misinformation, saying it makes people feel they are being called liars or dumb. Think about all those comments from Fauci and others that just made people feel like idiots. You're stupid. You're dumb. If you don't wear a mask, if you don't stay 6 feet away. It says during the pandemic, Palmyra Gerlich had questions about the COVID-19 vaccines, but doctors were very dismissive, the lady recalled. They just dismissed it. No, the vaccine's perfect. Who are you to question Dr. Fauci? Who are you to question the experts? Who are you to question me? Gerlach, a stay-at-home mother outside Pittsburgh, said she falsely told her child's pediatrician that she got the shot, seeking to avoid judgment. And the doctor told her, good girl, you got the jab. Health authorities sometimes got it wrong. And that's an understatement. At first, officials said COVID-19 vaccines would prevent transmission or infection. Later, they learned that the shots instead cut the risk for hospitalization or death. Sheila Hopsaberger, a small business owner in Olympia who described herself as an independent, said she listened closely to health officials when the pandemic hit. But as school closures and lockdowns dragged on, she began questioning what they said. So much of this has backfired. All of the bitter affliction has set in. The communists have been exposed. The communist infiltration of America has been exposed. Mr. Kennedy is definitely on to something, Hopsaberger said. Our current policies and systems are not doing the job of preventing or even reversing chronic diseases. We have more chronic diseases than ever before, and a healthcare industry that's larger than ever. A healthcare industry where billions and billions, trillions of dollars flowing in and out of that industry, all of them in bed with each other, as Kennedy has exposed. The career of Kennedy, an environmental lawyer, former heroin addict, and a nephew of the late President John F. Kennedy, took a turn in 2005 when he began questioning the use of vaccines. He says he exercises, meditates, and attends 12-step meetings every day. He's changed his life. And since he changed it for the better, 2005, they've tried to blot him out, the experts. You'll remember the clip I played for you the other day where he was at a Trump rally and he said he prayed 30 minutes a day. Since 2005, asking God to put him in a position where he could help improve the health of our children. And people want to run him out of town like he's some kind of radical extremist when it comes to health, vitality, energy, strength, a long life. Listen again. I've got a lot, but I can play maybe one or two more clips from Kennedy in August. Clip 6.
About 18% of American teens now have fatty liver disease. That's like one out of every five. That disease, when I was a kid, only affected late-stage alcoholics who were elderly. Cancer rates are skyrocketing in the young and the old. Young adult cancers are up 79%. One in four American women is on antidepressant medication. 40% of teens have a mental health diagnosis. And 15% of high schoolers are on Adderall and 500,000 children on SSRIs.
And yet that woman at the Washington Post says these Republicans are trying to kill your children. Who's trying to kill our children? And who's getting paid to do it? Paid handsomely. This Wall Street Journal piece. We were all told in COVID, trust the experts. Trust them. But that's not a thing, Kennedy said in an episode of the What Is Money podcast in April. Trusting the experts is not a feature of science. It's the opposite of science. It's not a feature of democracy. Just trust the experts. Just do what they say and keep your mouth shut. That's not science. That's not democracy. Taylor said that health authorities during the pandemic ignored studies on natural immunity and didn't acknowledge that people who had been infected with COVID-19 might not need to be vaccinated. What I just don't approve of is purposefully presenting information in a way that is not allowing the American public to arrive at their own opinion. It says, after previously voting for Democrats, Taylor said she cast her ballot for, guess who? The bad orange man, Donald Trump, who's got Bobby Kennedy now over the HHS. Mainstream doctors, researchers, and health officials are bracing for a Kennedy-led federal health department. They're considering how best to communicate with the public if they need to counter decisions that stray from established public health measures. I mean, if it strays from the establishment, how are we going to respond to Kennedy? They're already thinking. They're already reasoning. They're already planning. In some cases, at the FDA or wherever, there's been some resignations already. It says some FDA staffers have already stopped saying that vaccines are safe and effective, instead advising that the benefits outweigh the risks, a person familiar with the matter said. They're already changing their tune. Well, okay, we will admit now, finally, that some vaccines have side effects. They all do. They're man-made. It's not natural. It's not of God. It's like Herbert Armstrong said in his healing booklet, you don't fix a disease by inserting another toxin or disease. But we'll leave that aside. They wouldn't accept Herbert Armstrong at the HHS either, or the FDA, or the NIH. It says here, the change is intended to make clear that all medical interventions have risks, the person said, and to spike the argument that rare side effects mean vaccines aren't safe. Changing their tune because of one leader, because of just a different kind of leadership. We made that point last week multiple times, and it was made on a couple of the clips we played earlier. Just all that's happened in 2 weeks' time. He's not even in office yet. Bobby Kennedy's not even in office yet. But you listen to him talk, you listen to his views, and you think, is this really happening? Is this actually possible that they might start taking some of the banning ingredients that kill people? Seems like it should be common sense. Listen to one more clip from Kennedy's address in August, clip 6.
So what's causing this suffering? I'll name two culprits. The first and the worst is ultra-processed food. About 70% of American children's diet is ultra-processed. That means industrial manufacturing in a factory. These foods consist primarily of processed sugar, ultra-processed grains, and seed oils. The laboratory scientists who many of whom formerly worked for the cigarette industry, which purchased all the big food companies in the 1970s and 80s, deployed thousands of scientists to figure out chemicals, new chemicals, to make the food more addictive. And these ingredients didn't exist 100 years ago. Humans aren't biologically adapted to eat them. Hundreds of these chemicals are now banned in Europe, but ubiquitous in American processed foods.
Two culprits, he brings out. Ultra-processed foods, and I don't have time for the next clip, but then the toxic chemicals that they put in foods. And so much of this happening, going back to the origin of it all, the late 1980s and the early 1990s. That's pretty significant, too, given what happened in God's church at that same time period. Given what happened to the devil and his demon army, as is discussed in Revelation 12. That too, that too is brought out in this book, America Under Attack. That's all we have time for on today's show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you again tomorrow.